Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of The Preacher and the Miracle Man Show. I'm the host for tonight, Miracle Man. And as I said a minute ago, I'm so pleased that you have joined us tonight. I'm here at McDonald's with Coca-Cola, America's favorite beverage. I think Coca-Cola is the best beverage in the world. You can debate it with me if you want to. I think Coke's the best, not Dr. Pepper, not Mountain Dew, not Sprite, not Bach Schwartz beer, even though that is delicious. But regular Coke, along with Cherry Coke and Vanilla Coke, that is my favorite soda of all time. And you can get Coca-Cola or Dr. Pepper or Sprite at a McDonald's near you today for the price of $1, any size. So whether you get that 16-ounce cup or the 32-ounce cup or the 21-ounce cup, you're still going to pay the same $1 plus tax, which here in the state of Michigan is 6 cents, but keep in mind tax extra. So, for example, in Michigan, it's 6 cents, but in Ohio, in general, you'll pay about 7 cents in tax. And in Tennessee, it'll be 9 cents in general. Because in the case of Tennessee, sales tax, for example, is 7%. And then counties or cities will levy, on average, a 2.25% sales tax on purchases. In Ohio, it's 5.75%, but counties will generally levy 1.25%. But here in Michigan, the cities and counties do not levy sales taxes. But just a little heads up as to what goes into the taxes that you pay, like when you buy something, when you order something from McDonald's, for example, a Coke or a fry. So the reason it may be 6 cents per dollar here, but it's 9 cents per dollar in Tennessee, is what I just explained to you. To say, yes, I'm at McDonald's at 4925 Eastman Avenue, just north of Saginaw Road. If you're coming north from Saginaw Road on Eastman, we're on the left side of the road. And we're right near the door where you come in. But so, folks, here's the plan for tonight. And that is this. We are going to read Exodus 39, Hebrews 11, and the first two verses of Hebrews 12. And then I'm going to exhort you on my heart based on what we read, unless the Lord gives me something else to exhort. After we do that, we are going to delve into NCAA tournament talk as far as we're not going to make any game predictions tonight. No, no, no. But I am going to talk about some of the high seeds, particularly the one seeds, and then the state of Michigan to determine where we think who is going to go where. I mean, how far they're going to make it. And the reason I say the state of Michigan like I do is because I need to look at Michigan as well as Michigan State. So, I will not tell you which one seeds will not make the Final Four right now, this second. I do have at least one in mind that won't make it to the Final Four, one of the 4-1 seeds. But if you want to know who it'll be and possibly the why, you'll have to listen to later in the show to hear it. But that's what's coming for tonight. Because last night we had Michigan Monday, where we talked about the two Michigan teams that made it and kind of strengths and weaknesses with that. We didn't say who's going to make it, how far we are. Tomorrow night, I'm going to look at some upset possibilities because we do have some upset possibilities as well as I'm going to give some game predictions for Thursday and Friday, which will involve both Michigan teams and then I'm thinking four other games I'll pick. And then I'm still thinking about, now this is not a guarantee yet, gonna work on something. I'd like to do a brief 30-minute or less show on, I'm thinking Sunday evening. What I'm going to do in that time is basically break down for you what happened in the weekend, what were the upsets, what were some things that surprised me. You know, did the state of Michigan completely survive? Did one team stay in and one go out, or did they both lose? Ultimately, I hope they're both in still by the time we get to Sweet 16 time. But a lot of Final Four coverage. I mean, a lot of March Madness coverage coming for you within the next bit, week and a half, couple weeks, because it's an exciting time to be a sports fan here in this part of March. I'm going to be on and off the radio Thursday and Friday. I know listening to some of these games, streaming what I can stream. So, yeah, I'm going to be pretty involved in a lot of it so that I can give you guys good, accurate stuff. So generally what's happening tonight on the show is the Bible reading and exhortation and the sports, which there will be an update as far as, you know, what did the Tigers do in their preseason game? Red Wings, oh, the Wings. The Wings are not looking pretty. They forgot how to fly, I think. I think the Red Wings forgot how to fly. If your wish is that they might get the number one draft pick, well, your wish just might happen. But I'm going to talk about that later.
Played a game yesterday, and I will let you know what happened there.
Pistons played tonight too, so where unlike these other Tuesday nights where we don't have that much sports to talk about tonight, we got quite a bit of stuff. And I have an update on Richard Sherman as far as where he went. And unfortunately, it's not Detroit. But I will get to that later in the program. For right now, well, folks, those of you who have listened to the show for a long time, just bear with me for a second as I do something, say something to newbies. Folks, now those of you who have been listening, who are new to the show, and you have family members, friends, relatives, and what have you, that have been listening, that are interested in the show, as they might have heard you talk about it. Possibly, maybe they heard you talk about it, and they heard you say, hey, there's this great program on the radio called Preacher and the Miracle Man. You should take a listen. The case, and that's what people are telling you, here's what you tell these people. And this is how they can be a part of this great show. Here's what you tell them. Okay. You tell them, go to blogtalkradio.com. Once again, that is blogtalkradio, B-L-O-G, B as in boy, blog, talk, radio, all one word, blogtalkradio.com. And then you'll see a search bar. In this search bar, Upfront Entertainment. Then you'll see a link. And this link will say something like, Live in Large. And then you'll hit the link. And then you can be a part of the show. There'll be a link to listen live to us. Or you can listen to our archived. We've done over 100 shows together, me and Preacher Man. And it's been a while since I heard from Preacher Man, but I'm sure I will soon. And so, yeah, you. you get on live and then you can hear us. Also, there's a little subscribe button that you can hit right there. You hit that follow button, and here's what's going to happen when you hit the follow button. If you hit the follow button, you're going to get notified when we get ready to do a show. For example, tomorrow night at 5:30, we're going to do another blog talk show. And notification will generally tell you, you know, and tags generally what we're going to be talking about. For example, tomorrow night it'll be faith, fun, miracles, Final Four, Pistons. As that's generally what we'll be talking about tomorrow night, for example. And you'll get notified, you know, a few minutes before the show's going to start. And remember, it's always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. Now, you can listen to these on your phone, on your computer, excuse me, on your iPad, any device, generally, with internet. You can listen to the episodes in your car. You can listen to them at work. You can listen to them while you're out on a jog. Cool. You can listen to them while you're on a jog. You can listen to them while you're maybe working out at the gym or in bed, getting ready to go to bed. And so, yeah, it's an amazing thing. Technology is so awesome, and this is a cool way that we are able to do this just using a phone. For example, I just called in on my smartphone earlier so I could do the show. But I had to be registered in that, but it's awesome. And we believe we're changing the world through faith and radio. That's our goal, to change the world through faith and radio. You say, well, Miracle Man, what does change the world through faith and radio mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means. We're trying to change the world and bring hope to people and bring faith to people. That's our goal. And then radio, online radio, that's the medium we're using. Radio. Online radio. That's why we say, let's change the world through faith and radio. And so, another thing I've wanted to say about us, me and Preacher Man both, we are not Bible-thumping bullies. We're not bullies. Yes, we love our Bibles. It's not the book we love, necessarily. I mean, yes, it's everything in the book, but it's not the piece of paper. It's the words that are within it that we love, that we believe. The red letters, it's Jesus. It's the Word of God. That's what we love about the Bible. But we're just real men who love God. And I'm going to borrow a saying that Dr. Barclay, my pastor, borrowed from someone else. Either he borrowed it or he made it himself. And that is this: we're real people We have real problems, but we serve a real God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for that. That's a great word right there. We could go into sports right now. That's powerful. But we're not. I haven't given the phone number yet either, and I'm going to. It's explaining a few things first. And so with that, let's get, I was going to say let's pray, but I got to give the phone number first and go over the rules, the call-in rules. And so, folks, we have a phone number where you can call into the show and talk to us. And we can talk to you about anything you want to talk about generally. We'll pray with you. We'll believe God with you. We can get you saved. You know what, folks? We care about your souls. I care about your soul. Preacher Man cares about your soul. Want you to make heaven very badly. One good reason for that is because if there's people, I know there's people that God has told me to reach. I mean, God assigns us all to reach certain people. We might not know who they are necessarily, but, you know, our family members and what have you. And if we don't reach them, you know, the people that he told us to reach, we're going to have to give an account to God about it. And I don't want to derelict my duties. So I want you to make heaven. I care about your soul very much. I want you to make heaven. Periodically, I give salvation calls as God leads me to do so. Sometimes at the end of our reading and exhortation. But we care about your soul. We want you to make heaven very much. We don't want you to go to hell. We don't want you to have to deal with weeping and gnashing of teeth. We don't want that. So, folks, we have a telephone number where you can call in at. And as I said earlier, we can generally talk about anything you want to talk about. We can pray. You can ask me a Bible question. You can do whatever. If you just want a friend to talk to, even, we can do that. Here's the telephone number where you can call us at. The telephone number is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that telephone number is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts and then press 1. And once you press 1, you'll go through the call screener. And if everything's all good, then we're going to let you on. Now, we have two rules that we have developed in order to help us have a good quality show. These are not hostile. These are just for quality control and to help us. Rule number 1, This show is not a political talk show. It's not a political talk show. No, it's not a political talk show. I don't do that here. I'm not going to take the time to give you all the updates on what the president's doing and what have you. There's other great talk shows that'll do that. I'm not one of them. If it's politics you want to talk about, we're going to tell you to pray, and we're going to tell you to vote. Rule number two. This show is a family show, so we ask that you please keep your comments and anything you want to say appropriate for all ages. We have a verse we stand by on this one in Ephesians 5, where it tells us basically that we're to watch our mouths. Don't let filthy communication come out of our lips. And so basically what we always say is, if you wouldn't want to hear, if you wouldn't want to say it to Jesus, don't come say it on this program. So if you can follow these rules, then we can have a great, oh man, it says it's charging, but my battery's going down. In the name of Jesus, my phone's going to charge right now. Sorry, folks, I'm having a charging problem with my cell phone. But, folks, we are going to get into the word of prayer, and then we're going to begin our reading for the night. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this program. I pray that you bless it. I pray that you bless the listeners who are listening tonight, wherever they may be listening. I pray that you strengthen them. You strengthen my voice tonight. And that you're with Preacher Man and with the others and with me. I thank you, Lord God, that whatever you have me say, I commit to you that I will say it the way you would have it said. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you're Lord over the show. You're Lord over all of us. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, turn with me, if you would please, in your Bibles, to the book of Exodus chapter 39. Woo! Praise God, Exodus 39. We love the Word of God. I love the Word. I hope you do too. But we're glad to have you with us. This really means a lot. So here's what you can do. Here's something you can do. I strongly encourage you to do this, and that is this. If I'm reading the Bible, studying, you read, study. If we pray, you pray. If I sing, you sing. That's how we do this. Do whatever I do here at McDonald's, you do there at home or wherever you are tonight. Whether it be at a McDonald's or wherever you happen to be. We believe that the way you can get the most out of this is by participation. So with that, I bring you chapter 39 of Exodus. Verse 1. From the blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, they made woven garments for ministering in the sanctuary. They also made sacred garments for Aaron, as the Lord commanded Moses. They made the ephod of gold and of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and of finely twisted linen. They hammered out of the sheets of gold and cut strands to be worked into the blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and fine linen, the work of a skilled craftsman. They made shoulder pieces for the ephod, which were attached to two of its corners so that it could be fastened. Its skillfully woven waistband was like it with one piece of the ephod and made of gold and of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and the finely twisted linen, and the Lord commanded Moses. They mounted the onyx stones in gold, file-free settings, and engraved them like a seal with the nations of the sons of Israel. Then they fastened them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod as memorial stones for the sons of Israel. The Lord commanded Moses. They fashioned the breastpiece, the work of a skilled craftsman. They made it like the ephod of gold and of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and of finely twisted linen. It was square, a span long and a span wide, and folded double. Then they mounted four rows of precious stones on it. In the first row, there was a ruby, a topaz, and a beryl. In the second row, a turquoise, a sapphire, and an emerald. And in the third row, there was a jacinth, an agate, and a amethyst. And in the fourth row, there was a chrysoprase, an onyx, and a jasper. They were mounted in gold filigree settings. There were 12 stones, one for each of the names of the sons of Israel, each engraved like a seal of the name of one of the 12 tribes. For the breastpiece, they made braided stains of pure gold like a rope. They made two gold filigree settings. Hang on, I'm turning the page. And two gold rings, and fastened the rings to two of the corners of the breast piece. They fastened the two gold chains to the rings at the corners of the breast piece and the other ends of the chains to the two settings, attaching them to the shoulder pieces of the ephod at the front. And they made two gold rings and attached them to the other two corners of the breast piece, inside edge next to the ephod. Then they made two more gold rings and attached them to the bottom of the shoulder pieces on the front of the ephod, close to the seam that was above the waistband of the ephod. They tied the rings of the breast piece to the rings of the ephod with blue connecting it to the waistband so that the breast piece would not swing out from the ephod, as the Lord commanded Moses. They made the robe of the ephod entirely of blue cloth, the work of a weaver, with an opening in the center of the robe like the opening of a collar, and a band around this opening so that it would not tear. And they made pomegranate of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and finely twisted linen around the hem of the robe. And they made bells of pure gold and attached them around the hem between the pomegranates. The bells and pomegranates alternated around the rim of the robe to be worn for ministering, as the Lord commanded Moses. And Aaron and his sons, they made tunics of fine linen, the work of a weaver, and the turban of fine linen, the linen headbands, and the undergarments of finely twisted linen. The sash was of finely twisted linen and blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, the work of an embroiderer, as the Lord commanded Moses. They made the plate, the sacred diadem, out of pure gold and engraved on it like an inscription on a seal, holy to the Lord. Then they fastened a blue cord to it to attach it to the turban, as the Lord commanded Moses. So all of the time, so all the work on the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, was completed. The Israelites did everything just as the Lord commanded Moses. Then they brought the tabernacle to Moses, the tent, and all of its furnishings, its clasps, its frames, its crossbars, its posts, and its basins, the covering of ramskins dyed red, the covering rose hides and sea cows, and the shielding curtain, the ark of the testimony of its poles, and the atonement cover, the table with all its articles, and the bread of the presence, the pure gold lampstand with its row of lamps and all its accessories, and the oil for the light, the gold altar, the anointing oil, the fragrant incense, and the curtain for the entrance to the tent, the bronze altar with its bronze grating, its poles, and all its utensils, the basin of its stand, and curtains of the courtyard with its posts, its basins, and the curtain of the entrance of the courtyard, the ropes, the tent pegs of the courtyard, all the furnishings of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, and the rope garments worn for ministering in the sanctuary, both the sacred garments for Aaron and the garments for his sons when serving as priests. The Israelites had done all the work as the Lord had commanded Moses. Moses inspected the work and saw that they had done it just as the Lord had commanded. So Moses blessed them. I'm sorry folks that we had to take that break. I had battery trouble with my phone. What I mean is the charger wasn't working. I had to take a break to go to Walmart to get a charger. The other way I would say that we had some serious technical difficulties. We have got them corrected. So, with that in mind, I read to you Exodus 39, and we're now going to, if you could turn in your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Hebrews 11. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 11. Let's look what God says about faith for a little while. And oh, good. 6:49. Not sure how the 2-hour thing works, but I'm going to try to meet the time limit, so that'll be a nice 7:30. But I have found Hebrews 11, so I am going to begin reading right now. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for, being certain of what we do not yet see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than what Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man, and when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith he still speaks to this day. even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For without faith, and before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Now, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. We always say, but with faith, it is possible to please God. Glory, thank you, Jesus. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards these who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things not yet seen, in Holy Spirit he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. And by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him for the same promise. And he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, wasn't able to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. And all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised, but they only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. For if they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. And by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, and he gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his inheritance. To his reward, excuse me. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, she was not killed with those who were disobedient. What more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle. And routed foreign armies, women received back their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured and they refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Now we're going to get into Hebrews 12 and read the first two verses. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm going to remind you what I read previously before we had our difficulties. In chapter 39, you know, the ephod and everything else, and they made all those certain things and all the construction. And the way the chapter ends in Exodus 39, the Israelites did the work, you know, to the tabernacle or sanctuary and the tent of meeting. And Moses, he went in there. And he, you know, basically what he's thinking, I'm going to go in, I'm going to do an inspection. I want to make sure that the people, the Israelites, did just as I had told them to do, as God told me to have them do it. He went in there, he did an examination of everything. And you know what? They obeyed. They obeyed in this case. They obeyed. All the work, just as he has commanded. Just as he had commanded. The work was done as the way Moses commanded them to do. And that's powerful. I wish Christians today would be as obedient as the Israelites were to Moses in this case. Now, there were other cases where they were being very rebellious and stuff, but in this case, they obeyed God. They obeyed what Moses, they followed his rules. So, I believe that we would all be that obedient to God. Hear his voice. Do what he says. Go to church. Read our Bible. Pay our tithe. Do what he tells you to do. He tells you to go reach these people. You know, however he tells you to do it, go do it. Yeah, but I just got home from work, and God told me to go to 1648 Edward Street, knock on the door, and say a certain thing to these people. Well, if God told you to do that, whether you had time to eat or not, do it. Do it. Do it. The Bible says in one place that the disciples did not, at one point, did not have time to eat. So, we need to be able to obey God no matter what the cost. Even though it might not be comfortable for us. I'm going to teach on this sometime soon, a bit longer, because of that mishap. This program is capped to 2 hours, and when I got back on, it said, you know, since it appears you are calling into a live show. So, I have some other material to get to in regards to, you know, the sports and that. So, otherwise I would have delved into this a bit deeper tonight. But I promise you, sometime very soon, I will take some time to exhort and teach being obedient to God and his commandments. And not just the Ten Commandments, but you know, doing whatever he tells us to do as we hear from it. And this is important stuff. So, stay tuned for that. So, with that, I'm going to close this portion of the program with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for these listeners to this program. I thank you, Lord God, that you're working on them. Thank you, Lord God, that you're the answer for the world today, that above you there's no answer. You're the way, Jesus. And I thank you that you're with us in everything we do, and that you help us to always be listening to your voice and obeying you. And I thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I told you I had a lot of stuff to get to tonight on the sports segment. And it is very true. I have Pistons, I have Tigers, I have Red Wings, I have Lions, and I have Final Four. What I try to do is divide it up by sport. So. What I'm going to do is get the negatives out of the way first and then move on to, you know, the things that are more positive. And so we begin with Red Wings hockey. Detroit Red Wings lost last night in Denver. They lost to the Avalanche 7-6. Red Wings have lost 7 in a row. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs this year. And if they keep losing like this, they could very well possibly end up getting the first round draft pick, the first overall pick in the NHL draft. And I also think the head coach is going to be let go at the end of the season. I really do. And as I said, 6-5, Red Wings lose. Tigers last night lose 7-6 to the Toronto Blue Jays. Forget who pitched, but he did okay the first couple innings, but then when other people came in, they started giving up some things, and so the Tigers ended up losing. Opening day, as a reminder, is on Thursday, March 29th, at Comerica Park. Spring's coming, folks. Spring is coming. Spring is coming, whether you realize it or not. Yay! Woo! So, spring is coming, so be ready for that. Some football news. I talked last night for a couple minutes about the Richard Sherman thing, the meeting that was planned to happen with Richard Sherman and the Lions. That has been preempted. Richard Sherman has signed a deal with the San Francisco 49ers. And now the Lions are looking at, who'd you say they're looking at, Josh? But the Lions are looking at Malcolm Butler from the New England Patriots. He couldn't be a good weapon for us. And Keenan, the quarterback for, that was the quarterback, the stellar quarterback for the Vikings this past season, he has been traded to the Broncos, Denver Broncos, as the free agency circus is going on. Now, before I get to the circus that is the Final Four, NBA basketball. Detroit Pistons take on the Utah Jazz tonight at 9 p.m. on ESPN 100.9 FM. You can listen to it live on ESPN 100.9 FM, as I will be doing. Hoping that they can get a good stretch of wins to close out the regular season and hopefully get possibly into the playoffs if they can win more than those other teams like the Heat and the Bucks. But they're going to have to work hard. Now, let me think. Dun Dun, 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 dun. Now you ask me, what was that music about? That was a medley of Michigan and Michigan State fight songs. Michigan State first, then Michigan. As the Final Four, I mean, the NCAA tournament begins tonight for four teams, but for everyone else, it begins Thursday and Friday. Many teams play Thursday, but the other teams play on Friday. And so, I told you last night I was going to talk about the high seeds being all four number one seeds, and then Michigan, Michigan State, how far I expect each one to go. So, I'm gonna start with a one seed, Kansas. Kansas is a great program. They've racked up a lot of great wins, and they're just overall solid. Josh, is that in Michigan State one seed is Kansas? But yeah, Kansas, I think they're going to make it very far. Xavier, another one seed. You know what? It's actually been said that in some polls and what have you, Xavier is actually predicted that they would lose to Michigan. And you know what? I agree. I think Michigan can beat Xavier. I do. They beat Purdue in the last time they played Purdue, 75-66. I think they can beat Xavier. I really do. They're a good young group, Michigan is. But I think in either the Sweet 16 or Elite 8, Michigan's going to play Xavier and feed them. Now, let's talk about Virginia. Virginia, overall, number one seed. They only have two losses. I picked them to go very deep in. I think Virginia will go to the Final Four. I really do. They got great talent. The best Virginia team that Virginia's had ever, I believe. Villanova, another one seed. I believe they will go far. Now, Michigan State and Michigan. In case you're wondering about Michigan, I had said what I thought, but I'm going to say it clearly now that I'm talking more strictly about Michigan. I expect Michigan, I predict Michigan to go to the Final Four, or at least the Elite Eight. At least the Elite Eight. I expect great things from this Michigan team. Robinson's good, guys. They're very young, very talented, very balanced. They're just fantastic. Michigan State. They've done some great things too. But there's one problem. Duke. They'd have to play Duke in the Sweet 16 if Duke is able to win two games. But it's been kind of common at times for Duke to lose, to be upset in the first round of the tournament. For example, several years ago, 2014, they were upset by Mercer, the school out of Macon, Georgia. And they were upset by him. And so, it's something to keep an eye on. Duke is. Duke, Michigan State. As for if Michigan State can beat Duke, here's what I will say about Michigan State. My forecast for Michigan State is Sweet 16 at bare minimum. Sweet 16. And then I'm having to leave a question mark on the Duke thing because it's going to depend on if Duke stays alive, for one thing. If Duke can lose, I think it gets Michigan State to at least the Elite Eight. I do. So, to repeat, what will happen? What is my forecast when it comes to the four number one seeds and then Michigan State? I said Virginia would make it to the Final Four. Villanova will make it to the Final Four. Xavier will not make the Final Four. They will lose to Michigan, and then Kansas. Depends on what happens with the Duke and Michigan State stuff. So, Duke, Michigan State, and Kansas is a tough bunch. So, that makes it a bit hard to tell. And then I said Michigan would make Elite Eight at very least. And then Michigan State, Sweet 16 at least. So, that is your forecast for the one seeds and Michigan and Michigan State. Tomorrow night, we're going to delve into some of the other teams like Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, and some others who could maybe possibly surprise some people and maybe beat a 3 seed or something. And even some double digit seeds who could win. But that's what we're going to look at tomorrow night. And we'll have my game predictions for like how exactly I see the Michigan game going this weekend, and the Michigan State game. And then I'm going to pick a few other games, a couple of which will involve the SEC. Another one will involve the Big Ten. And then, or maybe the Big 12. No, it will involve someone from the Big 12. Michigan, Michigan State, a couple of SEC teams, a Big 12, and I'm going to think whether to do one on the Atlantic Conference or the ACC. I mean, ACC or Big East. But there will be no one seed picked tomorrow night on these games because with the way it tends to work, it's too obvious that the one seeds will probably win. So I'm going to pick the Michigan game, the Michigan State game. Michigan State's opponent has had a few tough losses, but they've also had some huge wins. So I have to pick that one. So that's what we have to look at tomorrow night. So upsets, or like upsets that I think are possible, and as to why, like some lower teams or other teams that are not 1, 2, 3, or 4s that could make some good noise in the tournament, as well as, like I said, I'm bringing back a college football edition of Pick Six, where I pick six games, as you may remember from the football season. And in football, I did pretty good. Let's see how well I can do at basketball. So, folks, I'm sorry about what happened earlier, that we had to disconnect and everything earlier. So, until tomorrow night, folks, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will see everybody tomorrow evening. So long, everybody.